Hallelujah. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We're back to our studies on prayer, the 7 most important power points in praying for yourself. And last week, we began to study the all-important concept of asking. The word ask. If you were not with us last week, I ask that you please get the recorded teaching, whether video or the podcast of it, so you can catch up with us and you have some foundation, because we laid a good foundation last time and I want us to be able to continue to build on that foundation. Understanding is absolutely crucial, but part of what creates understanding is fundamental foundational knowledge. It's difficult to understand something when we don't even have foundational knowledge. You know, someone can say something, and just because we don't know them, the way we interpret what they say might be extremely different, completely different from the way somebody else interprets it because they know them. And so we might be saying to this person, look at what they said, and this is what they mean. And that person can say to us, no, that's not what they mean. This is what they mean because I know them. Fundamental knowledge is essential for understanding. We learned last week, if we don't ask, we don't have. If we don't ask, we don't have. And how many people think they're actually asking? Believers who think, yeah, I asked, but never really did. Or asked wrong, did not ask right. We learned last week about asking amiss and asking aright and the difference between them. Amen. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Read a couple of scriptures that we read last week and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. He says right here in 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, in God, because we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence that we have in God, because we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Notice the word ask. And then He says in verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. Whatever we ask. So notice, we have confidence. Our confidence affects our ability to ask right. Because when we have confidence that we are asking according to the will of God, that confidence actually enables us to ask right. Like I said the last time, there's a difference in saying to someone, I wish you would do that. I wish you would find a way to do that if you could. And there's a difference between saying that to that person or somebody else saying to that person, I know you can. Please do it. They're two totally different things. They're both asking, but one of them is asking based on the knowledge they have, and they're asking with confidence. The other person is asking because they don't know for sure what He wants to do, whether He wants to do this, what's important to Him, whether this is His. So there is something about having confidence and that confidence translating into being able to ask aright. Amen. Now, one of the bedrock scriptures, one of the all-time great scriptures concerning asking and what the Lord does with our asking. We read some part of this last week, and today I want us to pick it up from there and read a few other translations of that scripture from the Bible. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I believe that is one of the all-time most powerful scriptures concerning asking and what the Lord does with our asking. Can somebody say amen? Let's read it together. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. We learned the last time, our asking is the basement of the tower that God seeks to build in our lives. Our asking is the list, is the platform that gives God room to actually build in our lives what he really wants to build. God never gives us exactly what we ask. He doesn't answer us commensurate with what we ask for. What we ask for is the baseline of what the Lord wants to do. What we ask for, what we think of, what we imagine. As a matter of fact, I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it, talks about what we dream of, the highest dreams we could have. Listen to this in the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, he is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, our highest hopes, or our highest dreams. That is, the Lord is able and wants to do beyond the highest thing we can ask for, the highest thoughts we can have, the highest dreams we can have, the highest hopes we can have. Our asking gives God a platform to be able to build the great manifestation that he wants to give us in our lives. So asking is crucial, beloved. Asking is absolutely essential. But like we learned before, it isn't just asking. It is asking right. Asking right. I want you to look at a few other translations of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And I like them all, but I'm going to just pick a few of them. I want you to look at the Good News Bible. Good News Bible says, to him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. He's able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. Everything the Lord seeks to do for us is always going to be so much more than anything we could ask for. It's always going to be so much more than anything we could ask for. So your asking is important. Your asking is essential to receiving. Because what the Lord wants to do is to use our asking as a basal level, a basal platform for pouring out upon our lives so much more than what we could have asked for. We are always going to be asking for much less than what God wants to give to us. That's not because necessarily we're asking wrong. I'm just saying what is in the heart of God is to give us so much more than the highest thing we could ever ask for. That's the good news. I want you to look. Let's look at the International Standard Version. International Standard Version says, now to the one who can infinitely more than all we can ask or imagine. Excuse me, I'm going to do that again. Now to the one who can do infinitely more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is working in us. He can do infinitely, infinitely, infinitely. The message says God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Let's look at the New Living Translation. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So, what are we learning from all of these scriptures, these versions of this scripture? Asking is important. Asking is important in determining what God is able to do. Your asking is extremely important. Sometimes the enemy gets believers to a place where they don't even want to ask anymore. They're so tired of asking. They're so tired of the disappointments. They're so tired of the failure. But that's not for us. If we have built up our confidence in the Word of God, if we have energized our belief system to the place where the Word of God is all we're standing on, not what we're seeing, not what we're hearing, but what the Word, what thus saith the Lord. That's our standard for believing. That's what creates and measures the parameters of our faith. What thus saith the Lord. So think about that for a minute. Your asking is important. Your asking is extremely important. Let's see how important it is, based on some of the things the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in the Gospels. Let's go and look at a few scriptures. Let's start out from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. We're going to read from verse 7 to verse 11. Let's read it first in the King James, and then I want us to go read it in the Amplified as well. Matthew chapter 7. From verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. I love that. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. It goes on in verse 9. And I really love the analogy that the Lord gave in this teaching. Listen to what he said. He said, what man of you is there whom, if his son asked him for bread, he'll give him a stone? Notice, the Lord is saying, as evil as you are compared to the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of God, there is none of you whose son asks you for bread and who will give him a stone. Mm-mm. So our asking is crucial in determining our receiving. If you ask the Father for bread, he will give you excellent bread. If bread is what you need, and you ask the Father for bread, he won't just give you bread, average bread. He will give you the best bread money can buy. That's the way he works. What he will never do is give you a stone. Stone, he will never give you. Now, you may even end up with average bread just because maybe you can't believe enough to receive that excellent bread that he has prepared for you. You are like, okay, this average bread is good enough, Lord. Just give me bread. Okay. Be it unto you according to your faith. Take average bread. But what the Lord will never do, what the Father will never do, is when we ask him for bread, turn around and give us stone. That's not who he is. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. And then he says, Father, if you then, in verse 11, actually verse 10, let's not skip verse 10, that's very good too. Or if your son asks you for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Oh no. No. When you ask the Father for fish, he will give you the best fish money can buy. Hallelujah. He will give you the best fish money can buy. You know that from the story of Peter. Had not caught any fish all night. Suddenly, after he yielded to the Lord, he said, cast your nets into the deep. He lowered his net into the deep. Guess what? He caught the best fish money could buy. He didn't catch average fish. Sufficient fish for just one net. No, he got the best fish money could buy. Net-breaking fish. To the point where that net-breaking fish became boat-sinking fish. God always does exceeding abundantly. Exceeding abundantly. Now, if it's difficult for us, sometimes in God's mercy, he still does that. But sometimes, just so that we can grow and so we can move forward in our walk of faith with him, if all we really, really put out our faith for is average fish, well, okay, be it unto you according to your faith. Take that average fish and be happy. But as far as what the Lord wants to do, he wants to give us the best fish money can buy. What he will never do though, he will never ever give us a serpent when we ask him for fish. Let's keep reading in verse 11. He says, if you then, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, the text is in red. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Say that with me, how much more? He does exceedingly more, exceedingly above. How much more? He said, shall your Father, who is in heaven, give, watch this, good things to them that ask him. Good things to them that ask him. Notice, your asking is crucial to your receiving. Our asking is crucial for our receiving. If we don't ask, we don't receive. Or if we don't ask right, we don't receive right. We just don't receive what God had for us or what we thought we wanted from the Lord. So look at it further. He says, therefore, in let's read verse 11 again. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, give good things to them that ask him? How much more? When you think of the Father answering prayers, it's always so much more. It's not so much less, it's not the same, so much more, so much more. He does exceeding abundantly, over and above everything we could ever ask or think. That's our Father. You know, earlier on in the year, one of the prophetic scriptures the Lord gave us regarding prayer, our place of prayer, faith, receiving in prayer, asking, is Matthew 21:21-22. Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. And actually, there was a season of the year where we all give ourselves that task, memorizing it and try to get it right. And that was fun. And I hope you haven't forgotten that scripture, because I want us to read that scripture tonight. Let's go there to Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Our asking is crucial in receiving. Our asking is crucial in receiving. Our asking is crucial in receiving. Matthew 21, 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done unto the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Notice he said, you will not only do, if you have faith and doubt not, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, which you know the story of the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now watch verse 22. Watch verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Look at that. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. Notice, it didn't say whatsoever you shall talk about. It didn't say whatsoever you sing about. Whatsoever you tell your friends about. Whatsoever you tell people about. No, no, no. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. We're talking about the place of asking in prayer. The Lord is giving us a guarantee here. It shall be done. Hallelujah. It shall be done. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, I'm going to have us go back to a similar scripture to Matthew 7 that we started out from. But this time I want us to read it from Luke. It's a similar thing. It's a synoptic gospel, so just reported slightly different. But this time actually I want us to read it from the Amplified version of the Bible. So I'm going to ask you to go with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, where the Lord talked extensively on prayer. We're going to read it first in the King James, and then we're going to read it in the Amplified. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read from verse 9 to verse 13. Luke chapter 11, from verse 9 to verse 13. He said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, watch this now, everyone that asketh, receiveth. The key to receiving is asking. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Amen. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then he goes through what we read earlier on in Matthew 7. If a son shall ask you bread of any of you, of a father, will he give him a stone? And he goes on. Actually, expands it a little bit here. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, who is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he would ask you a fish, will you give him a serpent? And in verse 12, he says, if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Then he said in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, notice, good gifts, unto your children, watch this, how much more? And then this time he talks about the Holy Spirit. But you know, the context of what he was teaching in Matthew 11, he's talking not only about receiving the Holy Spirit, but receiving answers to our prayers. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That is, those who don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, if they ask him, how much more will your Father give them the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? And those who already have the Holy Spirit, who ask more, they ask for more of the Holy Spirit. How much more will our Heavenly Father give us more of the Holy Spirit? Amen. And those who have other needs, in their lives that they bring before their Father, how much more will their Heavenly Father give unto them what they are asking for? Now, let's read this in the Amplified. Let's read from verse 9 in the Amplified. So I say unto you, Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. So the Lord isn't scared or bothered by us asking repeatedly, as long as we are asking in faith, not in doubt, and as long as we are asking with thanksgiving. Because, you know, when you ask the first few times and you are presenting it to the Lord and you've prayed, you've gotten your confidence, you've gotten your word, you've gotten God's promises, you are sure and all of that, and you come before the Lord and your spirit is beginning to interact with the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer about this need that you are presenting to Him. You know, confidence comes and you are able to ask in confidence. But a lot of times, you know, because this is not like a computer thing. You press a button and it delivers you things on the screen. This is like us interacting with our Heavenly Father. And a lot of times there's just a continuum there. There's a continuum there. Sometimes even in the place of prayer, as we are praying over those things, sometimes the word of God starts coming to us. Certain things start coming to us that maybe the Holy Spirit ministered to us before about what we're asking. And so then we find ourselves going back and we're looking at those scriptures, or we're looking at some of those things that the Lord is ministering to us. And that is strengthening our asking. It's not like now we're doubting. No, it's strengthening it. Lord, and now as you begin to ask more, you find yourself beginning to ask with thanksgiving. And the point comes when you ask, you are actually really thanking Him more for it than you are asking like you asked Him the first time. So it's a continuum. And the word of God here says here, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our asking is so crucial to receiving. Our asking is so crucial to our ability to be able to receive. Amen. Remember what he said in Matthew 21:22, verse 22 especially? All things, he said, and all things, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I think it's a good place here to pause a bit and try to expatiate a little bit on the word ask. What does it mean to ask? Yeah, we know what it means to ask. I mean, asking for something, but I want you to get an expanded understanding, an expanded scriptural understanding of what it means to ask. The scriptural meaning of asking. Because from these scriptures we've read, whether it's Matthew 7, Luke 11, Matthew 21, and so many more scriptures, we'll still read many more. We'll look at a couple of examples before I close tonight, before we leave our Bible study tonight. When you look at all of these scriptural examples, and remember, we're interacting around the Lord Jesus Christ and around the epistles here. We're not even in the Old Testament yet. We should, in our study somewhere, as we go along in our study, we're going to go to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of the New Testament. And I would like us to see a few things that the Lord showed them about asking. The Lord interacted with His people about asking, even in the Old Testament, to strengthen our understanding. to broaden the scope of the revelation we have about this most important concept of asking. But before we do that, let's expand. What is asking? What does it mean scripturally to ask? Let me read this out to you from my notes. Ask means to articulate, now listen, to articulate your request and present it confidently with expectation of a favorable response. I'm going to do that again. Write it down if you're taking notes so you can review it later on. You can meditate it later on. What does the word ask scripturally mean? What's the scriptural definition of the word ask? We have learned about how crucial and how important asking is. To ask is to articulate your request and present it confidently with expectation of a favorable response. Okay, let's break it down. Let's take the three different parts of that definition. The first part of the definition is articulate your request. Let's talk about that for a minute. Articulate your request. What is your request? Let's use the examples that the Lord Jesus Christ used in Matthew 7 and Luke 11. Ask. If you are a son who's hungry for bread, ask for bread. Articulate that request. Ask your father for bread. Articulate it. Don't say, you should know I'm hungry. You may starve. Articulate it. Lord, I'm hungry. I ask you for bread. I know bread has what I need to satisfy my hunger right now. Lord, I ask you for bread. Articulate that request. If you are not satisfied with just bread, you don't want to eat that bread dry like a poor man. You want fish. Fish sandwich. Don't say, well, the Lord knows, after all, he knows what is best, right? He knows there's a difference between eating dry bread, like a poor man, and eating fish sandwich. He knows fish sandwich is better, right? And if he wants to give me fish sandwich, he can give me fish sandwich. If all he wants to give me is bread, dry bread, okay, he can give me dry bread. No, don't say that. Articulate the request. Lord, I know I asked you for bread. And I know you can give me the best quality bread that money can buy. Thank you. Thank you for that. But Lord, eating that bread by itself is dry. I really would like to have it as a sandwich. Lord, I remember, I've read in the scriptures, when you fed your prophets in the Old Testament, the ravens brought him bread, but they also brought him meat. They brought him protein. They didn't just bring him dry bread, Lord. He ate good sandwich. So I know for sure, when you want to bless your servants, your children, with nourishment, you give them good things. The Bible says you give us good things. So bread is good, but fish and bread is so much better. Lord, I ask you for not only bread, but also for fish. And I thank you for giving it to me. Articulate your request. That's it. As simple as this sounds, folks. You will be amazed how many believers don't know how to articulate their request. They'll go round and round and round. There's something concerning their work, their workplace. Remember, we've laid the foundation for asking. And part of the foundation we've laid for asking has the will of God in it, has the nature of God in it, has confidence and faith and the knowledge that we have of the nature and character of God in it. And a lot of times, we're not asking God for how we want him to do what we want. The Bible didn't say that. It didn't say, Jesus didn't say, ask for bread and then tell the Lord you want a raven to bring it by 9 a.m. in the morning. He didn't say that. And many times, believers, we fall into that error. We want to dictate to the Lord how we want the bread. He never told us to do that because he's God and we are not. He said, ask for, you want bread? Ask for bread. Hey, he has a million ways in which he can get bread to us, folks. I mean, if all the bakeries on earth shut down, our Father can send bread from heaven. You know that. He's done it before. Ask for bread. If you want fish, please ask him for fish. Right? Articulate your request. That's the first part of it. Articulate your request. Now, the second part of it, present it confidently. Present it confidently. We've already learned a lot about confidence. So don't leave that confidence behind when you come to ask him. Don't say, I don't even know if you can. I don't even know. You know, somebody said you are able. Somebody, the other person said they are not sure. I don't know. That prayer is already unanswered. It's already not answered. Present it confidently. Lord, I thank you. You have the ability to give me bread. This bread, what is bread to you? You even rained down manna in the Old Testament for millions of people, over a million people, manna every day for 40 years. Lord, you gave them meat, fish, good protein matter every day, 40 years. What is that to you? That's nothing to you, Lord. You can give... Bread is nothing. Lord, I thank you. You can do bread. You can do any, you can do way beyond bread. I thank you. So I ask you for bread. I thank you are able to give me bread. I ask you for, and fish, what is fish to you? You command fish, you speak to the sea. In a place where somebody fished all night, there was no fish. The moment you spoke, fish gathered from everywhere. They came from miles away to where that man's net was. Fish is nothing to you. Fish is nothing to you, Lord. Fish is nothing to you. Oh, folks, God loves it when his people are confident in him. God loves it when his people are confident in him. One time, Caleb was, he was chastising the children. Come on, our God, if he delight in us. See, this giant, they are bread. God can even make bread out of giants. And you find out, God can make bread out of giants. Hallelujah. And these giants, they'll be bread for us. They'll be bread. We are well able, Caleb said. We are well able. Oh, God loves that confidence, folks. So, as the second part of asking, you know, we gave a definition. The first part is what? Tell me what the first part is. Articulate your request. What is the second part of ask? Confidently. Present it confidently. What is the third part? With expectation of a favorable response. With expectation in your heart of a favorable response. Let's describe that. Okay. I asked him for bread. I presented it. I articulated it. I presented it confidently. He's able to do it. And now, I expect he will give me bread. I don't expect he's going to turn me away. I don't expect he's going to shut me down. I don't expect he's going to tell me, forget it. No, I expect he's going to give me bread. I mean, even that woman in Matthew, I think Matthew 15, that Canaanite woman who came to ask the Lord, and the Lord said, no, this is for the covenant people, it's for the Jews. Well, the woman said, Lord, Jesus said this is not for dogs. Well, the woman didn't take offense. Said, Lord, dogs eat of the crumbs. I can do crumbs. Crumbs, a lot of crumbs will combine together and make up bread. I can do crumbs, Lord. See, I expect. See, that's expectation. So what are the three parts to asking? Articulate it. One. Two, present it confidently. Three, expectation of a favorable response or outcome. Very, very powerful. What is this definition of ask again? Articulate your request, present it confidently with expectation of a favorable response. Did you get that? Hallelujah. That's what it means to ask. That's what it means to ask. Articulate it. Articulate it. Some say, oh, well, the Lord already. No, articulate it. Articulate it. Let's close. Which of these stories should we close with? Blind Bartimaeus, the leper. Let's go. You know what? Let's read both of them. See if we can read both of them. I'm going to do it real quick so I can close right here. But I want you to keep this in mind. We learn different things from these two stories regarding asking, from God's perspective, from our perspective. And I believe the first story is great because it shows something about the Lord, not necessarily about the leper's accuracy in asking, but it also shows something about the leper. It shows something about his confidence, and I'll have us look at both. Now, blind Bartimaeus, he shows everything. He shows his articulating it. He shows his presenting it confidently. He shows his expectation of a favorable response, outcome, all of it. But let's have a foundational thing. Go to Mark chapter 1. Let's read these two stories real quickly. Our time is almost up here. Hallelujah. I hope you are receiving something here. I'm just so blessed, excited. Just so full of this substance that the Lord is feeding us, this manna from heaven. Amen. Mark chapter 1. Let's read from verse 35. That's the story of the leper. Mark chapter 1 from verse 35. You know, let's read from verse 35 because we don't have a lot of time. I want to read something about blind Bartimaeus as well. Let's read from verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus, talking about Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. I really love that. Rising up a great while before he got into the business of the day, he went into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And a lot of things happen in the place of prayer. Prayer isn't just us talking, blabbing, blabbing, blah. Prayer is, yes, us praying, articulating, telling the Lord, speaking. But prayer is also listening. It's in our place of prayer we get prepared. We get instructions for the day. Sometimes it's direct instructions. Sometimes it's, we don't really know what we're receiving is for. We just know we're receiving something. And then later in the day, we find out. In the place of prayer that morning is the place of interacting with the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with Him, and laying a great foundation for the rest of the day. I love it because Jesus went out into a solitary place and he prayed. He got away from the crowd. He had had a full day of miracles and great. If you read right before this, they brought people, and he was healing them. And everybody wanted him to stay around and just keep on healing. And that's good. But the Lord knew where his power came from. He knew that strength, that you may be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It came in the place of prayer. You remember we read that in Ephesians chapter 3? And Paul said, I pray for you, according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. Jesus knew where that strength came from. His place of prayer. So he went and prayed. Let's pray. Let's read this quickly before our time runs out. Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for you. And he said unto them, let us go, he said, into the next towns. Oh, wait a minute. They just told him, all men seek for you. All men are looking for you. The natural response should have been, oh, really? Oh, okay. Let's go. Let's go get the all men that are looking for us. No, Jesus responded by saying, let's go to the next towns. Why? Because he got his marching orders in the place of prayer. It wasn't what was presented to him in the natural that later that morning that determined the route he followed the rest of the day. Mm-mm. It was what happened to him in the place of prayer. See, many times we don't realize how interconnected all these things are. And I would not digress for long because I don't have too much time here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's do that. You know, let's do that. We'll close on time and then we'll come to the story of blind Bartimaeus next time. Let's just do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we're not rushing through all this. In any case, I have to close very soon and we have to read to the end of this one. It was in the place of prayer that he got his direction for the things that happened later in the day. What do you think would have happened if the Lord had not spent that quality time in prayer before all of these people, including his foremost disciples, before they came to him and said, Lord, everybody's asking for you? They would have said, oh, okay, let's go to everybody. But in his place of prayer, the Lord showed him, I've got something for you to do out there in the next place. Some things are already waiting. And Jesus knew it was time for it. If you ask the people, they didn't think so. The healings of the previous day, oh my gosh, the revival. They just wanted that to continue. This is so good here, let's camp out. You know, like Peter on the mountain, when he saw Moses and Elijah, he said, let's build 3 tents. Yeah, this is good here. Don't worry about it. We don't need tents. This, what we are seeing, this is good. This is good for us. We don't need tents. But let's build tent for you all. Let's just camp out here. No, the Lord said, no, let's go on. Listen, what he said. Verse 38, he said to them, let us go on into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. So Purpose was calling him. And when he went to his place of prayer, Purpose called his name again. Purpose called to him. And timing and all of those things work into it. And I was saying earlier, all these things are so intertwined together. All of this is what is called being in the will of God. Because answers are already prepared in certain places. We just need to be there. If answers are prepared for us in certain places and we're in other places, well, the answer is there. We're just not there where the answer is. And so it seems like the answer wasn't prepared. No, the answer is prepared. We're just not where the answer is. So being in the center of the will of God is so paramount. I mean, I know people talk about this sometimes almost like a cliche. Like we just talk about it, rattle about it. Many times we don't even really think about what it means, because when people talk about the will of God, but then they come out, they come around and start talking about what they want to do because they want to do it. And if you dare make the mistake of challenging, if that's the will of God, if they sought the will of God over that, the mind of God over that, they'll just, you know, it's like you're raining on my parade here. Don't even talk about that. I mean, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to do it. But all these things are so intertwined. All right. Here, let's go back here. Let's finish this story here. All right. Let's go to the other time. So in verse 39, he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Praise God. Verse 40. And there, watch this, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. If you will, Lord, you can make me clean. That's what the leper said. If you will. That is, if you are willing, if it's your will, you can make me whole. So he didn't know. Because he didn't know, he couldn't say it confidently. He had confidence in God's ability, but he did not have confidence in God's compassion and God's will. He didn't have confidence in God's will. Earlier on, when we talked about, started discussing the concept, we got to close, started discussing the concept of asking, I know that I did mention, sometimes we just don't know what the will of God is. Sometimes we just don't know. And because sometimes we don't know what the will of God is, it's difficult to ask with confidence. A whole lot of things, though, they are revealed, they are obvious from his word, and if we're listening. But this leper didn't know. He said, Lord, if you will. And what did the Lord say to him? In verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion. I like it in the Amplified. He said, Jesus was moved with pity and sympathy. He reached out his hand and touched him. And listened to what he said. He said, I will be thou clean. Now, that man asked. He asked. He was articulate. He presented his need. He had some confidence that the Lord could, but he just didn't know if he would. And because he didn't know if he would, he couldn't really have the expectation to receive. It was all hanging. But the Lord, in his compassion, and a lot of times that's what the compassion of the Lord does. It overrides our failings and our weaknesses. And he stretched forth his hand, I will. And the Bible says, immediately, verse 42, immediately, as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Immediately. Immediately. But listen to this. He said, if you can, if you are willing, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. I don't know if this is your will. Jesus says, my will. Jesus says, my will. As I close tonight, I believe by the Holy Spirit, the Lord is having me say to someone, Jesus is saying to you, it is my will. Jesus is saying to you, it is my will. You've been asking, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. I know you can, but Jesus said, it is my will. Release yourself from that agitation. It is my will. Jesus said, it is my will. Hallelujah. Now that you know it is his will, go on. Articulate it. Present it confidently. And have expectation of a favorable response. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you tonight. It's time to close. We bless your holy name. Thank you for your mighty presence. We give you praise for your holy word. Thank you for helping us, precious Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory tonight. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, and everyone that will listen to this afterwards. I pray the blessing of heaven upon them and their families. I pray, Father God, like you spoke to that leper, I will be thou cleansed, be thou cleansed, be thou whole, be thou made whole, I will. I pray, Father, that you speak that upon your people tonight. I will be blessed, I will be increased, I will be healed, I will be restored, I will be made well, I will be promoted, I will be established, I will be delivered, I will be favored. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks, Father. We honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.